remember what my powers could peg me as. A demon. Or even worse now, a demon summoner. Another half hour went by before I finally saw what I'd been waiting for. Chief Yora and High Marshal Tzu Li Zhen appeared far below, heading off towards the barrier's edge. I had to move quickly to keep up with them. Stuffing my cot with a pillow, I slipped out of my room and padded down the hallway as if heading to the latrine. I stopped by Tulok's room to glance inside and noted he wasn't there. Still partying with the Wren brothers and Blue Rose, I thought. At least if I was caught outside, I wouldn't be alone. I made a quick dash for the stairwell, but headed up instead of down. I'd been planning on how I'd do this all day, and now was the time to put my non-existent stealth skills to the test. I was no Blue Rose, after all, and no way was I going to be able to just waltz out the front door either, but the door to the roof was wide open. I reached the roof in less than a minute and had to resist the urge to try breaking inside the locked tower door housing the aetherite crystal. Even now, I could sense the faint voices I'd heard from before, calling out to me almost, pleading. One mystery at a time, I thought as I pulled myself away. Depending on what I would learn tonight would let me know whether I could remain hidden in the shadows as a berserker, or if I would become the chief suspect of a witch hunt. I could pussy out and just take my chances in ignorance, but I'd rather roll the dice on being caught to learn the truth than to hide and let blind luck determine my fate. Plus, I had more skills to rely on than just stealth. "Mark of the beast," I whispered. My limbs elongated, and my fingernails lengthened into claws as I took on my beastly form. With a burst of frenzy, I leapt over the roof parapet and dug my claws into the soft stone of the outer wall, quickly crawling my way down. I took care to stay away from any of the window slits as I shimmied down the backside of the prison, exiting in a thick clump of shrubbery. I then moved as quickly and as stealthily as I could, keeping low to the ground like a panther. My bestial instincts kicked in, heightening my senses of sight and sound in the darkness, and I used them to track my quarry. I made for the fields, and once through, picked up on movement far ahead. I made certain to douse my devil shadow technique, keeping my frenzy undetectable as chi as I neared the two high-tier cultivators. I honestly didn't know what realm they were in, sacred soul realm at least, or even higher. I literally hugged the ground as they neared the braziers marking the edge of the barrier. I hid in some tall grass half a football field's length away, but my enhanced hearing could pick up even their breath from the distance. The moon was high and full, and although I couldn't feel its dark frenzy, I knew it was producing a shit ton of it. The wilderness beyond the barrier lay empty. No demons at all. Chief Yora and the High Marshal casually strolled to the edge of the flaming braziers.
"Well," Tzu Li Zhen said, as he folded his massive arms across his chest. "I suppose now we wait to see what comes."
Kelsey steeled herself with iron skin and iron core before launching herself into the writhing mass of demons. It was something she had done countless nights before, but tonight was different. Tonight, she was after more than just the weak beings that fell quickly under her swinging axe blade. Tonight, she was after something more.
"Where are you?"
she cried into the darkness, her flame spewing frenzy like a volcano.
"Show yourself, Izolic spawn!"
She spun in a circle, taking out four demons at once with a modified one-chop cleave. She dared to progress a little further into the wilderness, away from the edge of the barrier and the safety it would provide if things went wrong.
"No guts, no glory,"
she thought as she progressed further into the horde. Her soul shield technique was protecting her from dark frenzy, and thankfully the conviction of her own flame, her vow of vengeance against the demonic invaders, was enough to produce enough frenzy to keep it maintained. But she couldn't keep it up forever. Even now, after a minute in, the faintest of a black edge of darkness was forming around her vision.
"Show yourself, you damn cow!"
Something burst violently through the crowd of demons, sending them flying like bowling pins. A massive tentacle suddenly wrapped itself around her waist, and she was pulled off her feet as it retracted. Kelsey screamed in defiance, hacking away at the tree trunk-sized tentacle as it dragged her through the forest.
Ahead of her, she could just make out the towering silhouette of the creature it was attached to. In the red hue of the blood moon, its features became clear. It was as big as she thought it was. At least 2 stories tall, with a humanoid-like body and head. Its skin was gray and corpse-like, and in one of its hands was a huge club that glowed with dark frenzy. She immediately recalled the hammer that awakened corpse demon had used when she was down in the basement of the bunker. The thing that made her transform into a full-blown demon and kill Jim. Already she could sense its power attacking her flame, desperate to break her soul shield technique.
No,
she thought as the trauma revisited her.
Not again!
The head of the demon was human-looking, a bald scalp with a set of glowing red eyes tucked beneath thick brows. On its face was a gnarled beard, but as she looked closer, the beard was made of writhing tentacles instead of hair. On its chest was a second face, more resembling the demon she was used to, grotesque and alien with twin sets of glowing red eyes. Where its stomach would be, instead became the mouth of the second face, a vertical maw lined with razor-sharp teeth that was now open like an undone zipper, and from within it spewed a mass of tentacles, like bowels spilling from a cut-open abdomen. The sight of it alone was enough to make her scream. Dark frenzy pressed on her soul and filled her mind with madness.
Stay strong, she told herself, reaching for the spiritual root of her Tao. This is what you came for. The enemy you swore to destroy.
Her struggler's resolve bolstered her psyche, and she grimaced in defiance as the tentacle brought her face to face with the demon's massive human-shaped head.
Not who I was expecting, it said in a deep reverberating voice. But no matter. The Lord calls for your demise all the same.
The tentacle began to tighten about her, and as Kelsey struggled to free herself, she quickly realized she had just stepped way above her weight class. This monster was indeed stronger than anything she had ever faced before. The odds against her multiplied and caused a surge of frenzy from her soul. But despite the raw energy, the strength of her technique failed to resist the crushing force of the tentacle. She had to do something, but it would mean going in a direction that might send her soul straight to hell.
The mark of the demon!
Her vision closed in slightly as she gave in to her primal urges. Horns erupted from her head as she released a visceral cry. Her iron skin and iron core manifestation techniques tripled in strength, resulting in a bit of relief from the demon's crushing grasp.
You show your true form,
it said, marveling at her as it spun her in the air.
Foul demon of the traitorous flame!
I will end you, she cried. I will end you, even if it kills me!
But it was more bravado than anything else. Her system was taxed just maintaining her demon form along with her defensive techniques plus soul shield. She needed the power of 1,000 slain souls to break free, but she had yet to master the technique, much less be able to employ it when her Dantian was about to run dry. A deep chuckle rumbled from the demon's throat.
Bold words, it said. But your strength is lacking. I sought far more than you to quell my vengeance.
It then looked away from her and towards the direction of the city.
But I will have it still. I will not rest until every soul in Charon province joins me in hell.
What? Kelsey thought. This thing knows what Charon province is? What are you?
She said.
Who are you?
Just a pitiful mortal like you once. But the divine herald of the stars has blessed this soul with new purpose now. To destroy you and whatever else I wish of this mortal world.
The demon then turned and began plodding off deeper into the forest, further and further away from the safety of the barrier's edge.
No, Kelsey thought as panic gripped her. I've got to get back.
I will break through the walls of the city and feast upon the weak. The mortals will feel the agony of this wretched soul. The vengeance of Hong Fang, resurrected to fulfill the wrath of I Song Yang the Reborn.
Close to half an hour had gone by with nothing. No horde, no attack. Chief Yora and High Marshal Tzu Li Zhen took turns stepping into the influence of the Blood Moon, trying to coax out what had come the night before, perhaps. As the time went by, it became more and more definitive that what I had already suspected was true. The Horde was drawn to myself. And if that was the case, there was only one way to make it reappear. Protecting my flame with soul shield, I stalked towards the barrier's edge, taking a wide arc around Yora and the President. I put myself nearly three times the distance away that I'd been before. As I stepped into the effects of the full blood moon, immediately my frenzy began burning away under its influence. I didn't know how long it would take for Izolix to sense me, but there was one surefire way to gain its attention. Slipping within my mind's eye, I entered the spiritual realm and inhabited the blue-hued spectral body of the struggler. All around me, the wail of demons pierced the spiritual darkness, the rays of the blood moon in spiritual form, perhaps. It didn't take long for the monster itself to appear, its tentacles whipping past me with its thousands of star-ridden eyes. "I'm here, you piece of shit!" I shouted at it with struggler's resolve. "Send your minions to come and get me!" "Foul husk!" it spoke within my mind, its screeches translating into cognizant thought. "Spreading thy putrid flame across the cosmos!" It came at me then, and I defended myself with a swipe of my spectral blade. It veered away, avoiding the hit. Sensing its weakness, I pressed on, chasing after it in the darkness. I went in for another cleave, and it backed off once more. What the hell? Why was it running from me? And then I remembered where I was. I was in the spiritual realm, fighting what was most likely a mere shadow of its true self. It was biding time, while its horde of demons was on its way. Bastard trying to catch me with my pants down in the real world, I thought with a grin. Not today, buddy. I was just about to avoid its chest move by punching out of the spiritual realm when a sudden flare of frenzy caught my focus. It was faint like before, but distinct. Kelsey? I'd have to risk getting trampled in real life for a few seconds more. I had to know if she was truly in here with me. I ditched chasing after Izolix and chased after the faint trace of frenzy instead. It seemed an impossible distance away, but I pressed on nonetheless. I burned extra frenzy to quicken myself towards it. Kelsey! Can you hear me? There was no answer, but I did sense something else. Fear. Panic. I arrived at where I thought the source was emanating from. It was as faint as that outline the crystal had made. Fainter, even. I reached into it, and for a split second I could sense a sudden turmoil in my soul. It was Kelsey. I could feel her, but something was wrong. She was in pain. Kelsey screamed deliriously as the world closed in on her. Her body was being crushed, but that was nothing compared to what was happening to her soul. Her vision was shrinking to a pinprick, the capacity within her dantian soon to run out. She had no idea where she even was anymore. Snarling demons and whipping branches, cursed moonlight and a million stars. Nothing made sense. Her mind was slipping. The beast had its tentacles wrapped around her in both worlds. She'd pushed too hard and too fast. Her peek into the unknown had turned into a gaze within Pandora's box. No way to get back home now.
"I'm sorry, Mom," she thought, her mind wondering. "I should have given you a better goodbye."
Suddenly, the tentacles released from about her soul as a thought forced itself inside her mind. "Fight, Kelsey! Fight!" New energy filled her, and in an instant, her vision snapped back to normal. She was still within the monster's clutches, deep in the forest somewhere, but a clarity now filled her mind and soul. Her dantian was somehow replenished, her sanity returned, her abilities maintaining themselves at levels that were near impossible before.
She didn't understand what was happening. Had she ascended? Had she died and was now living through death's door? She pushed it all aside to focus on the only thing that mattered now. Fight!
Wrath of 1,000 slain souls!
Kelsey fumbled with meridian sequences as she cycled the frenzy through her Dantian, desperate to push full bore the technique she could scarcely manage to do in practice. Her body exploded with lightning and pain.
Ah!
The tentacle released from about her, and she shifted with Mark of the Beast to quickly heal her crushed organs and bones as she fell towards the ground. She spat blood when she landed, the transformation taking place in mere seconds. Groups of smaller demons rushed her, and with her enhanced speed, she swatted them out of existence with a wide sweep of her axe blade.
"Foul, little creature!"
A Zhang Zhang crooned from above her, and within its hand it raised its enormous club to crush her. Every instinct in her berserker soul said to fight, but wisdom came as well. A passage from the orb.
"Shara 3, no less kindled one. A berserker can never back away from a challenge or an injustice which ignites one's flame. Even if victory is unlikely, press forth, for even in defeat, survival is never your aim. The destruction of your enemy is all that matters. If destruction is yet impossible, you may retreat to gain more strength and return once again. But return you must until victory or death. But to turn your back on a challenge or injustice untested is to stray from the path of the flame."
She'd stayed to her path. She'd tested her opponent's might, and it was far beyond her own right now.
"I will return to kill you," Kelsey shouted up at her with struggler's resolve. "This I swear by the might of the frenzied flame."
The twin techniques went off like a bomb in the air, the words of spiritual truth assaulting Ai Zhang Zhang's demonic core. It reeled and screamed, becoming enraged at the same time. Kelsey spun and dashed through the forest, pushing through the stray demons that blocked her way. She was still slightly disoriented, but she could sense Vanya in the distance. She homed in on her, speeding as the giant monster tried to give chase from behind. But it was no match for her speed and beast form. Kelsey finally broke through the edge of the barrier, and the reprieve from the moon's assault lifted the burden pressing on her soul. She collapsed on the ground, breathing heavily, her flame resonating with the harmonics of Vanya's aura. After a moment, she finally sat up.
"That voice," she thought.
The thing that had saved her and restored her soul. She'd know it anywhere. But was it possible?
"Big brother,"
she said as she looked up at the stars, perplexed.
"Was that you?"
I channeled my frenzy into the faint form that was Kelsey, urging her to fight on. I had no idea if it was even working or not, or what she was going through, but her flame flickered in and out of existence a few times. It seemed to strengthen then, and I sensed her soul once more, stronger now.
"Fight, Kelsey, fight!"
I sensed her resolve return, and then suddenly her flame disappeared.
"No!" I shouted. "Kelsey!"
Before I could do anything else, I was suddenly knocked out of the spiritual realm by something. I opened my eyes to find myself in the middle of a swarming horde of demons. Oh, shit. I punched and kicked in my bestial form, drawing black blood and awful as I clawed through several alien-shaped monstrosities. They hissed and squealed as they fell on top of me, covering me in their blood. I couldn't even make sense of what I was seeing. Flying squid demons and slithering eels. Creatures that looked like giant amoebas covered in razor-sharp teeth. I suddenly wished I had brought a weapon with me, but I wasn't planning on fighting, much less being caught in the middle of a demonic swarm. I struggled to get my bearings, trying to head towards the braziers flaming in the night, but they looked to be even further away now. It was as if I were caught in a rip current made of monsters. Suddenly, a brilliant light flashed from the sky as a powerful voice filled the air.
"Monarch's Reign! Glorious Fist of the Heavenly Throne!"
an enormous translucent forearm 3 stories tall punched into the ground a couple hundred yards away. A detonation like an atomic bomb went off, sending a massive shockwave flaring outwards, consuming the demons like kindling. It was all I could do to summon steel lightning and steel skin to absorb the attack, crossing my arms in front of me as the shockwave hit. Blinding pain broke through all my techniques as I went flying head over heels into the barrier zone. I blacked out for a second as I hit the ground. When I reopened my eyes a few moments later, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The entire wasteland was on fire, thousands of demon corpses burning in the night. As I struggled to stand, a new presence filled my senses. I glanced upwards to see a literal god hanging in the night sky above me. High Marshal Zhu Li Zhen was standing in mid-air with his arms folded, glaring down at me. He only barely resembled what he looked like before. He was twice the size he'd been, and radiated with a powerful glowing aura, his eyes a brilliant white. Gone were his normal robes, replaced by cosmic armor that looked like glowing runes that superimposed itself over his bare skin, which was now metallic bronze instead of its normal tan. His red beard glowed like embers, his white hair flowing majestically as if underwater. I looked back to the wasteland and the burning demons. Holy shit. He killed all of them in a single technique. I fell to one knee, unable to suppress my awe. I'd only seen power like this once before, back when 8-year-old me watched the earth be destroyed by cultivators as powerful as gods. And clearly High Marshal Zhu Li Zhen was one of them. Chief Yora then appeared at my side, hands tucked behind her back.
"Good evening to you, Master Iron Bull," she said, her tone even, her countenance unreadable. "It appears you are outside after curfew."
I glanced between her and Zhu Li Zhen, the realization of my screw-up becoming clear as my awe began to subside.
"You have much explaining to do," Zhu Li Zhen said, his voice like thunder. "I suggest you speak quickly."
Chapter 31. My mind raced as I stood under interrogation by the most powerful cultivator I'd ever seen. I could kick myself for even getting caught, to be honest, but that was the price I had to pay for needing to find Kelsey in the spiritual realm, I supposed. I still wasn't sure what had happened, or if she was even all right. Her flame seemed to get stronger for a second, but then it simply disappeared. I had no idea what that meant. I prayed she was still okay, wherever she was and whatever she was doing. But as for me, I had challenges of my own to deal with right now. Thankfully, there was some luck on my side. Getting temporarily knocked out by Zhu Li Zhen's heavenly fist technique had disabled my beast form. Otherwise, there would be more than just questions about curfew being asked. But Chief Yora was already asking more than just that. Asking why I was here was only the opener. Precious seconds went by as my mind went into overdrive. Whatever I would say next would determine the fate of my path. And for all I'd done, I still didn't have any real answers, which had been the whole point of taking the risk. Now I'd come up with nothing. Shit. Maybe this was a total tune move after all, I thought. Being sneaky and deceptive definitely wasn't my strong point, or a feature of my berserker path. Perhaps that's why I'd fail. Maybe being straightforward and upfront was the only way to go. Screw the consequences, berserker style. And for as dead to rights as I could be right now, maybe telling as much truth as possible would be a good thing. "I was curious," I said eventually. "When you mentioned heading out here with the president, I wanted to know for myself what those demons were." Chief Yor gave a little smirk.
"So you did lie, then, about what you had seen?"
I shrugged. "I suppose so, yes."
"Why?"
The million-dollar question. "I didn't want to be thought of as a freak," I said honestly.
and I didn't want it to affect my progression either. I honestly didn't know what you'd do if I told you the truth. She chuckled.
Well, at least you're telling the truth now. You're a terrible liar, Iron Bull, and predictable. Finding you here wasn't a surprise at all.
I furrowed my brow. What?
I didn't tell everyone that I'd be coming here with the High Marshal, but I told you as a test. I ensured following us would have been an easy task also. Or perhaps you didn't notice how simple it was to escape your room unnoticed.
I felt the rug being pulled from under me again. Had the escape been too easy? Maybe. Granted, I didn't use the front door either. But maybe I could have. A test. I looked up at Su Li Zhen and then back to Yora before cracking a cheesy grin. Did I pass? I waited to see if I would get smacked for my stupid joke, but thankfully Yora huffed out a laugh and even produced a bit of lemonade in her soul. Thank God, I thought. I'd read the room right. Yora was just as curious about me as I was about them. If I played my cards right, maybe I could still come out of this on top.
You're an interesting one, she said. But yes, I told you in hopes of you venturing out for another look. If my intuition proved right, that you had indeed retained your memory and seen the unseen, I had no doubt you would want to see more. So yes, I'm not surprised to find you here. But we were both surprised to find you in the middle of the horde and fighting outside the barrier.
High Marshal Su Li Zhen finally touched down on the ground to stand in front of me.
What possessed you to think you were capable of surviving such a thing? Do you have a death wish?
Not yet, but soon, I hope, I wanted to say, but they wouldn't get that joke. I was just trying to see if I could still cultivate, I said.
After all you experienced yesterday, and still you wanted to subject yourself to more?
Yora asked. I shrugged. I have sort of a timeline to keep. Any chance of advancement, I want to take advantage of it.
I honestly didn't think you would show, Su Li Zhen said. But now that you have, I can see clearly now why Chief Yora knew you were lying. You can't hide what you've seen, boy. It's plain as day.
I grew more apprehensive then. What was he talking about?
Your eyes,
Yora said, as if sensing my internal question.
Once you have glimpsed the unseen, they never look the same way again. At least to those who have also glimpsed. The moment I asked you, I could tell what you'd seen and remembered. It was the lie that I found confusing, which leads me to believe you know far more than you let on.
Ah, crap.
The question is, how? Su Li Zhen said. How were you able to resist the horror of seeing those demons? Speak now!
Moment of truth, I thought. They did know too much, and I'd have to come clean in some way. But I couldn't risk everything without gaining some truth myself. If I tell you, will you tell me what those demons actually were? I asked. Su Li Zhen huffed out a laugh.
You are bold! I'll give you that. But yes, if you are able to behold them, you might as well know what they are. But your secret first. How are you able to resist the sight of them? As you saw, even your upperclassmen, black robes, who have been subjected to blood moon cultivation already, were nearly driven insane. I struggle to believe that your mental fortitude is so naturally gifted.
It's not, I said, thinking quickly. As I told Chief Yora, I come from a world with a blood moon. For the last few years, I have been exposing myself to it. Just like you do here, I guess. I honestly didn't know if it was helping my cultivation or not, but I figured if the Blood Moon could make spirit beasts, it could somehow make me stronger. So, I guess it worked?
They both paused, looking to one another as their eyes widened.
And you were simply allowed to do this?
Yor asked.
I shrugged. More or less.
How? Su Lizhen asked. Blood Moon zones are restricted by Imperial law.
I was a handler for many years, I said. We have special access privileges to the wild. I abused mine a little, I suppose. I did it in secret. Another pause, but I didn't sense they weren't buying it. It was pretty much the truth, anyway. Minus the actual cultivation method, of course.
You took an incredible risk, Chief Yor said. As you perhaps no doubt understand now, you are lucky to come this far, especially without the aid of an aetherite crystal to heal you.
I grinned like the chun I was. I just got lucky, I guess.
What have you seen? Su Lizhen asked. While under its effects?
Another crucial question, but one I had to take care in answering. Su Lizhen had clearly seen more than I had, but I had no context for what was normal for a berserker to see versus a chi cultivator. I'd have to leave out the details. A lot of weird-looking monsters sometimes, I said honestly. I then pointed out into the wasteland of burning corpses. Some like those, I guess. Nothing specific. Maybe that's why I could bear looking at them. I'd seen stuff like them before, although just in glimpses, maybe. I held my breath, hoping they would buy it. In truth, I'd seen much worse on the surface of the moon with those gargantuan demons with tentacles for eyes.
How often did you do this? Su Lizhen asked. And for how long?
Like every night, I said, testing the waters. Over maybe 3 or 4 years. In truth, it was much shorter than that, but that length of time seemed feasible, given my age.
Extraordinary, Su Lizhen said. And you suffered no ill effects?
I only did it for short periods at a time, I said. Plus, our moon back home isn't as strong as this one. I never went out on a full moon either. We have demon hordes that spawn when that happens, just like here. But they're nothing like the demons that came here tonight.
So, you truly don't know what those things were? Su Lizhen asked.
I shook my head. One of my upperclassmen mentioned they were deep dwellers. Is that what they are? Both the Aura and the High Marshal looked at one another before letting out a laugh.
Boy, if a deep dweller ever arrived here, it would likely sunder this entire planet apart.
Oh, crap. So, what are they then, deep dwellers?
Ancient demons said to reside within the hearts of the Hell Worlds,
Chief Yor said.
There are only reports of their existence, but no one has ever seen one and retained their sanity enough to even describe them.
What you saw here tonight are much different, Su Lizhen said, looking back beyond the edge of the barrier. These are the surface dwellers of those hell worlds. Demons far more corrupted than anything you would find on a Blood Moon planet. They thrive under the unholy light of the cursed stars. They shouldn't exist on this planet at all.
Oh, damn. Izolix must have been pulling out all the stops to get to me. I had to ask the next obvious question. So how did they get here?
A new gate, perhaps, Su Lizhen said,
and then looked back out into the wilderness once more.
One leading straight back to a hell world.
I risked asking one more question. Is that normal?
The last one to appear was perhaps a decade ago, Yoris said. We're unsure why one has appeared now.
The demons are forever trying to expand their territory, Su Li Zhen said. Sometimes they send gates randomly.
He then looked up at the moon.
Unusual for them to try the same planet twice, however. If this world held meaning for them, they would have long since corrupted the sun and turned it into a cursed star. But there is no aetherite for them here.
Do you think they have detected the crystals within the prisons?
Yora asked. Su Li Zhen frowned in contemplation.
Perhaps.
Oh, shit. That was an alibi for me if I ever heard one. So the demons seek out planets with aetherite? I asked.
That's the theory,
Yora said.
And one you will soon learn within your classes as a black robe. Cursed stars only form within systems that contain aetherite-producing planets. Otherwise, only the moons remained cursed. The demons then consume all chi available and abandon the planet like this one, and simply move on.
My flame flared at the sudden insight. Was Earth going to end up like this place in the future? Or perhaps even worse, evolve into a hell world?
This is why we choose to locate the Academy here, Su Li Zhen said. A place to train under effects close to the hell world's conditions, but not the same. If the demons were to ever discover the Academy, I would expect for them to attack en masse. Somewhat like what occurred tonight.
I suddenly understood the gravity of what he was saying and felt immediately responsible. Was my very presence dooming the Academy?
We should perhaps assume it's random for now,
Yora said to Su Li Zhen.
We won't know unless it occurs again.
He nodded in agreement.
I'll close the gate. We'll see what happens afterwards.
He then rose into the air with a burst of chi before looking down at me.
As for you, Iron Bull, you need not hide your capabilities here. We are the defenders of the Empire, not its rulers. We are all but lowly tributes from conquered worlds. But the enemy we face is far greater than any noble would dare to understand. Now that we know you already have insight into the unseen world, we'll put you to use.
Put me to use?
Chief Yora will explain, he said. I'll be back by morning.
Yora then snapped to attention with a legionnaire salute.
Go, immortal, and return a god!
Su Li Zhen nodded at the phrase and then flew away at a speed unimaginable, disappearing into the night. I stood there stupefied. I knew exactly what he would have to do to close that gate. Enter within the spiritual realm, defeat the embodiment of Isandra, destroy the shackles around the crystal. Although I had only done that for a gate leading to the moon, would one leading to a hell world be different? Looks like he's already a god to me, I said absently. Yora chuckled.
Nearly. But he stays here for our sake.
I raised a brow at that. What?
Su Li Zhen could have long since ascended past the lesser deity realm,
Yora said.
But he remains here within the mortal realm to ensure legionnaires stand ready to bridge the gap. Or at least until he finds a successor,
she then chuckled.
Come, now that we know what you are capable of, there is much work for you to do.
She turned and began heading back towards the Academy. As I followed after her, a new sense of wonder and awe filled my soul. The universe was far more threatening than I imagined, and my struggle to free the Earth from the Empire might just be the beginning of my path. Chapter 32.
Do you really think it was him?
Kelsey sat within the darkness of her own mind as Vanya asked her the question. She still wasn't sure herself, but she couldn't deny what she'd sensed, or what she'd heard.
It sounded just like Max, she said. Felt like Max.
The towering woman shrugged her shoulders.
You seem as convinced as anything, as far as I can tell. Whatever happened, it was certainly real to you.
Yeah, I know, Kelsey said. But is it possible? Did the real Big Sis ever do anything like this before? Sense other berserkers from millions of miles away?
The real Big Sis? Vanya said with mock offense. How insulting!
Come on, V, don't joke around. This is serious,
Vanya chuckled.
You and Max both think I've been alive for ages like Thraya, but I've only just come to be. And believe it or not, I am my own person. The real Big Sis is still the real Big Sis, and I'm still me. I'm not a replica.
Okay. Sorry, Kelsey said. But what do you think, really?
I think if you sensed it, you sensed it, Vanya said. But I have no idea of how any of it may be possible. But it all happens within the spiritual realm, so who knows?
Kelsey sighed.
Yeah, I guess so. But aside from that, what about the demon? Did you see it too?
Only from what you described, Vanya said. I knew it was more powerful than anything I'd sensed before, and now this explains why. It's more than just an awakened demon. It's a corrupted human soul reborn.
And that's bad, right?
Vanya shrugged.
Honestly, I have no idea. But it sounds pretty bad.
Kelsey sighed.
I wish I had some way to put all this into perspective.
Didn't you say you recognize the name?
Yeah. Hong Fang. He was the nephew of Lo Fang, an enemy of Fia's family. Max killed him and took over his sect.
I see.
Either way, this Ai Zhang Zhang, or whatever it calls itself, now is hell-bent on revenge. It wants to destroy the whole city. I'm not sure if it can even break through the barrier, but I've never encountered a demon like this before. One that can think and express emotions, like a real person.
Is that what you consider it? A person now?
Kelsey blushed, knowing Vanya could sense her inner thoughts.
Indeed, I can sense them, Vanya said. But you need not be ashamed, Kelsey. Taking a sentient life is cause for moral contemplation. Where would your humanity be without it?
I guess,
she sighed again.
Maybe it's the thought that this thing might be able to outsmart me, too. It's not some dumb, mindless monster like the other demons I've fought.
Vanya laughed.
Please, you are much smarter than Max, and he seems to make out just fine.
Kelsey grinned.
Yeah, but Max has the power of the tune on his side.
Vanya laughed again. There was no getting around it. The odds against her had just increased, and preparing herself to face this demon would take time.
One thing is for sure,
Kelsey said.
I'm in no shape to kill this Ai Zhang Zhang, or whatever it calls itself. I need to up my game big time. And if it knows Kung Fu as well, I need to really start fighting more cultivators to hone my skills.
Vanya nodded.
So, what is your plan then?
Kelsey thought for a moment.
First, I need to get back to the city, check on things there, defend the sect, make sure Lee is okay. Then I need to find out if there's ever been anything strong enough to breach the barrier before. Lee said they prepare for it, but I've never actually seen it happen. Not yet. But I get the feeling this thing might be able to do it at some point.
Best to be prepared, then, Venya said. What else?
I need to find out if what I sensed was real or not.
You mean Max?
Yes, Kelsey said. It's time I wrote my blockhead big brother a letter.
I followed Chief Yora back to the academy. Crossing the assembly yard, we made for the library, and after producing a set of elaborate keys, she led us inside. With a wave of her hand, she illuminated the chi lighting within the building and then led the way upstairs to the top floor.
This area is permittable to you now as a black robe,
Yora said as she unlocked one of the roped-off areas at the back of the top floor.
But I will grant you access to something even greater.
My curiosity piqued at that. As we walked through the dusty bookshelves, I couldn't help but glimpse at how many ancient tomes I saw. Untold manuals, histories of the campaigns against the Hell Worlds, new techniques possibly. I wanted to sit down and soak it all up immediately, but Yor had us walking past them and towards the back swiftly. We finally reached a locked cabinet filled with several more tomes bound in black leather. Upon opening the cabinet, she withdrew one of the tomes and set it upon one of the reading tables.
Sit,
she said, and I did so immediately. I reached to open the book and she stopped me.
Wait,
she said.
Prepare yourself for what you may see.
I nodded, still not knowing what to expect. I decided to channel my frenzy and engaged my soul shield technique just in case. When I opened the book, the first thing I saw was a giant illustration of a creature that looked like a disembodied brain with spider-like legs. Immediately, my soul shield technique flared, protecting my flame from the sudden insight into the cosmic unknown. Below it was some script.
Mind Reaper. Demajultu. These dog-sized monstrosities are common upon the hell worlds of Vathulas and Elferum. While weak physically, they can exude massive auras of demonic chi that can immediately disrupt one's core. Often found accompanying larger hordes for protection, even one can easily turn the tide of a battle if not quickly dispatched. If discovered, they must be addressed with the utmost priority. Imperial Marshal Wee Chu Lu.
Wow, I said. You have hunter's manuals for the Hell Worlds? Yora chuckled.
We do not refer to them as such, but yes, it is a manual of sorts. A compendium of the various demons encountered on the Hell Worlds. Unfortunately, not many have the mental fortitude to even recall their encounters if they survive. And if they do, it is normally clouded and obscure. Only a select few have the ability to behold so plainly what would drive others mad, that picture included.
I looked up at her. Seeing this picture would drive people mad? Just the picture?
For mortals, most certainly.
Damn. But then something else occurred to me. Back on my world, we had things called comic books and movies. Fiction. They had monsters that looked sort of like this all the time.
Fiction,
Yora said contemplatively.
Perhaps it might have aided in your development of a resistance, but fiction and reality are not the same. The universe is connected in multifaceted ways. To see this at some primal root of one's being, we understand it to be truth and not fiction. And the terror of that unspeakable truth is often enough to drive one mad.
I could certainly attest to experiencing that myself, like when my flame acknowledged something new. It didn't even feel like new discovery sometimes, but almost like remembering something forgotten. I looked back to the brain spider thing on the page. Guess our shield of ignorance was too strong to break through, being Terrans. Yor chuckled.
Perhaps. Prepare yourself now.
Before I could even acknowledge her warning, Yora began leafing through the manual. My soul shield flared again as I saw creatures I recalled from the horde just outside the academy. I saw others I did not recognize as well. Alien-looking things, nearly impossible to describe, horrifying and mystifying at the same time. It was almost enough to make me look away, but I forced myself to endure, to behold the unseen.
How good are you at illustrating? Yora asked as she finally turned to a blank page.
I shrugged. I can do a mean stick figure. She twisted her lips into a frown.
It is a skill you will need to acquire, then. I will arrange lessons for you with Master Eiji. He is quite skilled with the brush.
I was starting to put two and two together now. So you want me to paint pictures of monsters?
Yes,
Yora said.
Of what you have seen. We have precious little information of the nature of our enemy. This tome comprises much of it.
She turned back to the first monster and then tapped on the name.
This also. The common name is what we have dubbed them, but the second name is its true name, its demonic name.
I looked at the name again, Demejultu, and tried to pronounce it. Demejultu? Yora flinched.
You must have gotten it exactly right. You just caused my skin to prickle.
Sorry.
Don't be,
she said.
You may possess a rarer talent than you think. Have you ever heard anything while you were cultivating the blood moon back on your home world? Whispers? Voices?
I'd heard a lot of shit, but I couldn't tell her that. Sometimes, maybe? She tapped on the name signed at the bottom of the inscriptions.
The man who inscribed this was a legionnaire of great skill and talent, an imperial marshal, a legionnaire who faced the hell worlds more than 3 times. He was able to make sense of the demonic noises the demons made, and was able to decipher the true names of some of them. To hold one's true name is to give great power. His insights have helped us many times over the decades.
I could certainly understand demon speak, especially when I was in demon form. Imperial Marshal Wei Chu Lu, I read his name aloud. What happened to him?
He was lost on his 4th tour over 100 years ago. We have not met a talent like his since. Until you, perhaps.
My inside suddenly froze. Me?
That awakened spirit bespoke to you. That's not common. You may have an affinity for these sorts of things. It was said that Wei Chu Lu possessed the same talent.
Damn, I was getting damn close to being outed, but it didn't seem like she was on a witch hunt. It made me look a bit closer at the name on the page. Could this Wei Chu Lu have been a berserker as well? I huffed out a laugh. Perhaps I'm his reincarnation. Yor grinned at that.
Let's hope so. The president would be well pleased to have such a resource. You could fill this tome with new insights. Speaking of which, did you notice any that you saw tonight that are missing from this book?
I'll have to check, I said. I didn't recall seeing anything that resembled those flying squids or that amoeba thing with teeth. Maybe...
You'll have ample time to check later,
Yora said, closing the book.
I will allow you strict access to this cabinet. You will come here to study further, to build your mental fortitude, and also to add to the compendium when your artistic talent is honed.
Can I start right now? I asked.
No,
she said, handing me the key.
For now, get some rest. You will join the upperclassmen in the morning as a new tier. You are already a half step from advancing to become a full-fledged graduate legionnaire. You need only further hone your blood moon resistance. You'll still need to be able to survive more than an hour to do any good on those planets.
I was rocked back on my heels. I'd just gotten a huge boost in my advancement. Thank you, Chief Instructor, I said, rising to give her a bow. This is a great privilege and honor. I will not waste it.
I am all concerned about us wasting you,
she said with a smile and a subtle hint of lemonade.
Which brings me to one final thing you shall need to master before I grant you the title of Legionnaire.
I raised a brow at that.
You have proven both your skill and strength as a fighter, but on the Hellworld, being permanently bound to the ground is a distinct disadvantage. I'm not certain what fighting path you follow, but you must expand your training to include some form of aerial maneuvering.
Aerial maneuvering, I said. You mean like flying? You're chortled.
If that is what you choose. Come.
She led me to another section of the library and selected 3 books.
These are all manuals of various forms of techniques that will grant you air superiority in battle. From free flight, which most choose, but requires great reserves of chi,
she pointed to one of the books.
Then there is this one on utilizing the flying sword or flying weapon techniques. And finally, this last one, which is less popular, but is very efficient, air walking. Choose any you feel you may be able to master.
My eyes widened as I looked at the books. For a brief moment, I had a flashback to being within Hong Fang's den and looking in that chest containing martial training manuals, wondering how the hell I was going to afford any of them. Now, here I was, having my pick of top-tier techniques, and all of it for free. Chun, you've come a long way, my boy, I thought to myself. The struggler and demon agreed.
Don't forget to see Master Eiji about the art lessons,
Yor said, pushing the books towards me.
In truth, that may prove the most valuable talent you can provide as a legionnaire yet.
I ascended the stairs within Du Gok Bong in a state of semi-shock and awe. I couldn't believe how the night had eventually turned out. I'd gone from thinking of myself as the chief suspect to the chosen one. I still had things I wanted to discover, like the voices within the crystal and my connection to Kelsey, but now I could explore them far more freely. I only had to worry about Izolix opening another gate on my behalf, perhaps. Hopefully I could control that somehow, too. But in the meantime, I had a ton of new stuff I had to learn, not least of which was learning how to draw. Who'd have thought my berserker path would lead me to becoming an artist? I was just about to head down the hallway towards my room when a figure emerged from the darkened corridor ahead of me. I tensed immediately, squinting to see if it was perhaps Blue Rose, being so small. But the long hair didn't match, nor did the male voice that came with it.
Out late, I see,
Jae-Soo Long said.
I wonder, doing what?
My apprehension turned instantly to irritation. What the hell do you want? I said, stepping forward. Another ass-kicking?
I see you trying to curry favor with the chief instructor,
Jae-Soo Long said.
But whatever you're up to, it won't work.
Pal, you have no idea what I'm up to, I said, pushing past him to get to my room. And if you want a rematch, just let me know. Until then, I don't have much to say to you.
I'm still your upperclassman,
Jae-Soo Long said, stepping in my path again.
You will show me respect.
Go check with Yor on that one, Chief, I said with indifference. I'll be joining your class tomorrow and likely surpassing you soon after.
What?
I laughed as his insides filled with anger. You're not the only one blessed with special privilege, I said. The only difference is that I'm earning mine. I slammed my door in his face and ignored the yells and curses that came after. I had no time to waste on an upstart like him. I pulled out the 3 training manuals instead and set my mind to loftier goals. Which style should I choose, I wondered. Flying around like Superman sounded cool, but it didn't seem very berserker-like. Neither did flying on my phalanx glaive like a giant surfboard. That left airwalking. But what the hell even was that? I didn't know what to pick just yet. Not until I studied them all. But one thing was for certain. No way was I going to learn how to soar with the eagles if I kept entertaining jive turkeys like Jae-Soo Long.
Chapter 33. Princess Lunala squinted at the report on her chi tablet. Demonic activity had increased significantly over the last 2 months in Juran Province, or so the heading of the report said, at least. Lunala scrolled through several pages of text she had no inclination or intention of reading.
"Summarize this report,"
Lunala said, shifting her eyes to Ling Wei, who was seated across the desk from her.
"What is the cause? And is there any impact to the excursions?" "The cause is yet undetermined, Your Majesty,"
Ling Wei said.
"There are demon swarms reported roughly every fortnight that do not coincide with the full moon. On occasions where they have, however, the barrier has come dangerously close to being breached." "Is that so? And what are they doing about it?"
Ling Wei paused a moment.
They have written to you in that regard, Your Majesty. The warden has petitioned for a reserve company of army personnel to be transferred from the capital to Juran Province for 6 months, while the anomaly is being investigated." "For what purpose?"
Lunala said, irritated.
"In case there is a breach."
"If there is a breach, a company of common soldiers would not save them anyway," Lunala said.
"And besides, it will cost a fortune." 147,650 spirit stones, to be exact,"
Ling Wei said.
"The amount is detailed within the report."
Lunala scrolled through to see the figure as if to give it actual consideration.
"The report said the troop presence would also serve to quell concerns,"
Ling Wei added.
"It would show that the capital is aware of the issue and is actively addressing those concerns."
Lunala released a sigh. The only good thing to come out of Juran Province had already left to join the academy. That was her only concern here now.
"Respond that the Royal Treasury is unavailable to provide such support at this time,"
Lunala said.
"And besides, the strength of our fortress barriers are well tested. They can handle anything this young moon could conjure. The masses fret like mortals. The warden needs to get her population under control. She must defend the city herself if she must. But I'm not wasting money on soldiers to stand around doing nothing."
"Noted,"
Ling Wei said.
"But the report also speaks of the events intensifying, Your Majesty, especially during full moon events."
"Then write that they should hurry to find the cause. Give their sages and scholars something to do."
"Shall I request that the academy here in the capital lend assistance?"
Ling Wei asked. Lunala raised a brow at her.
"Will it cost us anything?"
Ling Wei shrugged.
"A skiff ride for a few scholars, perhaps?"
"Fine,"
she said, waving her hand dismissively.
"Let it be. What else do you have?"
"Another petition from Juran Province,"
Ling Wei said, presenting her a set of physical papers this time.
"A private one this time. It was sent care of El Grand Sage."
"What?"
Her interest was piqued immediately as she snatched the papers from Ling Wei. But as she began scanning through them, she saw blocks of archaic characters written in legal jargon.
"What is this?"
"It is an appeal by the Terran sect against a new statute that was put in place by the warden."
"The Iron Bull sect?"
"Yes,"
Ling Wei said.
"Their barrister claims the new edict is unlawful."
"Is that so?"
"That is the claim."
"Well, is it?"
"I have attached a legal opinion from the Chief Justice in anticipation of that query, Your Majesty."
Ling Wei pointed to one of the papers in her hands.
"His determination is that the statute supersedes the authority set by a warden, and that only Your Highness possesses such authority.
As such, it appears the statute is indeed ultra vires, as claimed by the legal counsel for the Terran sect.
Lunala's insight suddenly flared.
That bitch dares to step above her authority to impose a law which supersedes mine? Annul it immediately!
Ling Wei bowed.
Yes, Your Majesty. Shall I have her punished as well?
Lunala paused for a moment, considering it. She still needed the warden's assistance for the other matter. Punishing her would give her reason to renege and seek reprisal, and the warden knew far more secrets than Lunala was comfortable with at the moment.
It depends on how grave the offense was,
Lunala said.
What is the statute? A local ordinance to prevent non-Terrans from residing within the native housing district. The Council for the Terran Sect claims that this has led to undue hardship on day-to-day activities and for families of mixed origin. She specifically mentions a married couple with a young child, as well as the Iron Bull himself and his betrothed.
Her heart suddenly skipped.
His betrothed? Yes. There is also an unenacted portion of the statute preventing the marriage of Terrans to non-Terrans on the basis of preserving their unique ethnic makeup. Such an edict clearly falls within your imperial powers, and hence the Chief Justice's determination. That Lady Silvertear,
Lunala thought with contempt. Was she hinting again that she knew her ultimate aim to wed the Iron Bull? There was no way she would let this stand. Still, perhaps she was also carrying out her order, making life for that little girl as miserable as possible in the meantime.
Is such worthy of punishment, Your Majesty?
Ling Wei asked. Lunala thought a moment more.
No,
she said finally.
And belay my order to repeal the statute as well.
Your Majesty?
Ling Wei said, confused.
Are you certain? The Chief Justice's determination is quite clear.
Reply that I will take the appeal under consideration,
she said.
But the law stands and shall remain in place for now. Say also that I will give royal assent to the unenacted portion of the statute should evidence of non-compliance justify it.
Ling Wei bowed her head.
It shall be communicated as such, Your Majesty.
Ensure the warden is sent a copy of both my reply as well as the Chief Justice's determination.
Lunala then eased back in her chair and glowered.
That woman needs to know my position and interest in this most unusual piece of legislation she has enacted within her province. I shall be watching events carefully from here on.
Master He Dong couldn't contain his grin as he received the imperial sealed envelope from the courier. He already knew what was within it, but still he opened the envelope with a fervor to confirm what was inside.
Something important, Master He Dong? Zhugong asked.
More than important, He Dong said with glee in his heart. When he read the first page of the legal script, he let out a laugh of triumph.
Ha! Those foolish girls couldn't contain themselves, just as I thought. What is it, Master?
Guizhu asked, peering over his shoulder. Master He Dong had to admit he had become quite accustomed to both Guizhu and Zhugong accompanying him and assisting with the basic running of the household. Zhugong was especially dutiful and wise with insight, while Guizhu was proving a capable aide in the forge. But today they were serving as sounding boards and audience to his great triumph. And in a household now teeming with women, it was nice to have other men to converse with openly.
It's the writ I was expecting from the vice wardens, He Dong said. They have met my challenge and have put forward all three of the Shen sisters to prosecute the order in return for me offering Fia to challenge all three of them simultaneously as a defense.
So they took the proverbial bait, Zhugong said with a knowing smile.
Indeed they have, He Dong said. For a moment I feared their cowardice had won over and we'd get nothing. But after a month I suppose they have finally worked up the courage to save their face.
Does that say the Grand Arena? Guizhou asked, pointing to the location of the trial.
Yes, Heidong said. They have agreed to my every condition. The fools have fallen prey to their own vanity and ego. And for their folly, Fia will now restore our family's honor on the grand stage. Heidong threw both Zhugong and Guizhou a shifty grin. Can you imagine the disgrace that would befall them when Fia breasts all three in the ring? They would be forced to resign.
At the very least, I would imagine, Zhugong said. Their punishment from their great aunt, the Lady Silvertear, might perhaps be even worse.
I certainly hope so, Heidong said, folding the letter.
I suppose we shall see. Where is Fia? I must tell her at once.
She is with Mother Dong and Yu Li in the gymnasium, training Su Ling.
I suppose it is that time, isn't it? Heidong looked to the early morning sky. Normally, he would avoid the practice room in the mornings to give himself some peace from the women who spent more time cackling and gossiping than training his granddaughter. But today would be an exception. They would have real news to gossip about this morning. Heidong left the courtyard to find Fia. The practice room was on the far side of the main house, and he could hear the sharp words of Fia's instruction as he neared the double doors to the gymnasium.
First form, Lotus Bridge,
Fia said just as he opened the doors, and he marveled as little Su Ling went through the 10-step motion with a seriousness that defied her age. He couldn't help but let out a laugh and cheer.
Well done, Su Ling! She looks as good at that as you are, Fia.
Gong gong!
Su Ling cried, breaking character from her cultivator stance immediately and rushing to give him a hug. Heidong picked her up and made her squeal as he placed kisses on her rosy cheeks.
Father, please,
Fia said, annoyed.
We can never get her to focus when you're here. This isn't helping.
Fear not, he said. I won't be long. And it is you who must begin your training now, daughter.
What do you mean?
Heidong handed her the paper with a waggling of his eyebrows.
The idiots have fallen for my trap. You shall face the Shen sisters in combat 3 months from now.
Ridong let out a gasp of excitement.
The heavens have heard our prayers. We will have our revenge in the courts.
She then turned to Yu Li, and the mother and daughter-in-law jumped together excitedly.
I will help you spar, my lady, Zhu Tian said, bowing before her. As much as I can, anyway.
Nonsense,
Ridong said.
Fia could best those three in her sleep.
They all shared a laugh at that, save for Fia herself, who looked somewhat peaked. Heidong studied her quizzically.
What's the matter, girl? He said. This is an opportunity to embarrass all three of them publicly and restore our family's honor. You should be overjoyed.
I am,
she said, looking downward. Heidong studied her chi. It was distorted, a jumble of confusion.
Are you all right?
Sorry,
she said, and suddenly ran for the door.
I need the privy.
Fia ran down the hallway, leaving them all in a state of confusion.
Is the lady unwell? Zhu Tian asked.
Yu Li abruptly stood.
I'll see to her. Fia has been worrying about Max of late. I think that's it.
Heidong grimaced.
No sense worrying about something 3 years away when we have something 3 months away.
Yu Li bowed to him before she left the room.
I will ensure she is okay, master.
Heidong huffed out a breath of irritation. Still, he wouldn't let Fia's reaction sully his mood. This was a clear victory handed down from the heavens. 3 months was almost too long to wait, but all the more time to spread the word.
The embarrassment of the Shen sisters would be very public indeed. Fia heaved into the toilet for the fourth or fifth time. The contents of her stomach were long emptied, but still the sickness remained. She wiped the sweat on her forehead with the back of her hand and then reached for a towel to clean herself up.
Here,
someone said, and she looked up to see Yu Li.
Thank you,
Fia said, taking the towel and composing herself somewhat.
Yu Li folded her arms and leaned against the side of the doorframe.
So, how many months are you?
Fia's mouth fell open, but she couldn't find words to speak. Yu Li merely shook her head.
Don't look so surprised. I've been through it myself, you know.
Fia still didn't know what to say. She felt guilty, ashamed, and embarrassed, all at the same time.
Was it that obvious?
She finally said.
Am I showing?
Yu Li sighed.
More like how often you're going to the bathroom every morning and pretending not to throw up. I'm surprised your mother hasn't caught on yet, but she's probably more distracted by Su Ling.
Tears welled in her eyes.
Please don't say anything.
Yu Li took her by the hand and clasped it within her own.
I won't. But you'll need to say something eventually, Fia. Does Max know?
Fia shrugged.
Kind of.
Kind of.
This is the curved ball I threw at him,
she said. Yu Li snorted out a laugh.
Heavens alive! That is one heck of a surprise. What happened? Please don't hate me if I tell you,
Fia said. Yu Li's countenance suddenly changed, her eyes growing wide with anger.
Don't you dare tell me that you've been with someone else. No! No!
Fia said quickly.
Of course not! But it wasn't really with Max's consent either.
Yu Li's expression shifted from anger to relief to confusion.
What do you mean?
Fia finally exhaled and told her everything. Her fear and insecurity that led to the decision, her hope that he would return, but dread that he would not. When she finished, she felt even worse than before.
Am I a horrible person for what I did?
She asked, looking to Yu Li for some kind of penance.
I wouldn't say horrible.